Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. It's time now for Cuz Radio.
What up, Cuz?
Deshaun Jackson gets a block. Are you kidding?
Talking with the Cuz.
Go, Cuz. How you doing?
Stairs rips one into the night.
Stolen by the doctor. Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocks the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
Look, Cuz, don't even try it, okay?
Now here's Anthony Gargano.
Why don't you get the hell out of here, Cuz?
Happy, happy, happy Wednesday across the Delaware Valley. Cuz Radio with the Chunas hanging out. We got one day until Eagles football. Eagles Giants, the short week tomorrow night. You know, it's funny. I love Thursday night football, but I don't like when the Eagles are on Thursday night football. There's something bad about the short week, and it's like not enough time to look forward to the game. But prime time, we're going to be watching. The good thing is after Sunday, you get right back at it. And I keep looking at this game, and I keep going, I don't really see how the Giants win. Now, I know all the injuries. I know how they've been playing. I've watched the Giants. They're really not good. Now, I will say this. They play hard. Joe Judge, I think, is going to be a really good coach. I like him. It's funny. They ran a play. It was a great fake against the Cowboys. And it would have been a touchdown. And it got called back because of a legal motion. The guard moved, and just a twitch. He didn't get down. In fact, what it was is he didn't get down in his stance quick enough. And so they get called, they get snagged, and the big play doesn't happen. And I watched Joe Judge on the sidelines, and he's freaking out. Joe's going nuts. Now, he's a local guy, the whole thing. I actually think, unlike the Cowboys, who are just a mess, the Giants, they play hard. Like, they're not going to mail it in. You're not going to get a quick game out of the Giants because I think Joe Judge has them playing hard. But when you look at their roster, it's really not good. They don't have, they don't protect. It's not good. So I keep going, all right, even without both tight ends, even without a makeshift line, even without all those in the backs, no Miles, they should still win. They should still win. Unless the curse is real. So I had a conversation yesterday with a friend of mine. And he said, you know what? He said, we made a Faustian deal. All that talk. Oh, I'll trade 10 years of bad football. I'll trade a lifetime of disappointment. I'll trade this. I'll trade that. We know we joke about it, but we used to say it all the time. It was topics on a random basis. It was out there. And his point is we put it out in the universe. And therefore, we made a pact with the devil. The devil. We made a pact. And then you start to look back at that season. And you look back at the run. And you look back at all of how everything played out that year and then thereafter. And I start to go, well, obviously it's stupid, but maybe not. If you think about where we were then, and we all agree that we really had no business winning the Super Bowl that year. It was premature. They were playing off a last place schedule. They got hot. They were able to survive. All they had to do was win two games to get to the Super Bowl. The magic of the Atlanta. I heard Torrey Smith the other day was on the morning show. And Torrey Smith said, he talked about the interception. And he said, I thought, remember the one, the reception, the immaculate knee. And he said, I thought that was, you know, I was trying to figure out, I got to get down there to save a touchdown. And the next thing you know, the ball caroms off of his knee into my hands, and it sets up the field goal. Like, they should have lost the game. Why did it go off his knee? There's no way in the world. And then you get the Vikings off of that miracle win. Not the Saints. You get the Vikings. And you remember that Vikings team was trash. They didn't even have Cousins at quarterback. That was a bad team. So we were able to win that game. And then the Super Bowl. And then, you know, Nick is blessed. And look at all the, they played the perfect game. We were playing the Philly thing all day yesterday. That's all part of this whole thing. And then you look at what happened thereafter. Look at all the participants after the Super Bowl. We all thought Doug Peterson was going to be the next, not just Andy Reid, because at that point, Doug had won it and Andy hadn't. That Doug was going to be one of the elite coaches of all time. I remember doing shows saying, would you guys sign Doug to a 10-year contract? And people go, yeah. And then you look at Howie. Well, the roster structure, the construction was incredible. Right? All the moves, the Jay Ajayi move at the deadline, picking up all those veterans. Look at the array of running backs. All those things that happened. Wow, look at this. That Chip Kelly, what a creep, putting Howie in the closet. And now, well, you might think differently of both men since the Super Bowl. And then you start thinking of participants, right? Alshon. Alshon was a big part of the Super Bowl. But what happened to Alshon after? The following year, he's got a cookie catch from Nick to send him into the NFC Championship game against the Rams, who they beaten earlier. And Alshon Jeffrey drops the ball. It's a catch. And he drops it. Jake Elliott. Right? The kick that turned around the season. What's happened to Jake Elliott since? One by one, the injuries all falling. And I start to think about what my friend said about a Faustian deal that we put out in the universe. And I start to wonder, maybe it's real. Tunis!
What's up?
Is it real? Did we put it out in the universe?
Oh, yeah, 100%. We 100% put it out there. How many times did we do the poll and you just brought it up? I read you the poll probably 3 weeks ago about 2018. This was before the Super Bowl season. It's 2016. It was when Carson and Doug first started. You had a poll when you were doing mornings. Would you give up 10 years of bad football for one Super Bowl? And 75% said yes.
Not only was that a poll then, it was a regular topic.
Yeah.
It was a quarterly topic for years.
And people jumped all over it. And people said yes. And you know what? I was kind of guilty of it. I thought I was like you, where I was okay with just having competitive football every single year. But for me, at one point, I got beaten down. I said, what is this all for if they're not going to win? So let me do the pact. I signed the pact. I wanted a Super Bowl.
You signed it in blood.
I'm a part of the problem right now.
Green blood.
That was me. I got the bleed green hoodie that I wear every Sunday.
And you bled on that contract.
I did. And I'm part of the blame right now with everything that's going on.
And so you wonder, is it real? And it feels real. Jonas believes it. You believe that we put it out there. It's like this. It's like the thing about putting stuff out in the universe, right?
Yep.
We talk about, you know, it's a life's mission sometimes. If you really want something bad enough, the vision board, you keep saying it, you keep talking about it, and you put it out in the universe. Well, we did that.
Yes, we did. And I'm a big believer of the sports gods. You know, outside of the Eagles.
This is not the sports gods.
No, this is the sports devil.
This is the sports Satan that we somehow resurrected. That we unleashed him. He was locked away in a cave somewhere, and we let him free.
And he got out. It's our fault.
It's like that. You ever see that old Twilight Zone?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
So there's the Twilight Zone. I love that old show, right? Every once in a while, they play a marathon.
Right.
Like on the New Year's Day I remember watching it. And there's a great episode where this guy is sick and he's stuck in the rain and he stumbles upon a castle. And there's like, it looks like they're priests, right? Like they're in, you know, religious garb. And they let him in. They say, no, sir, you can't come in. And then they finally take pity on him, and they bring him in. And he hears this howling and this moaning. And he says, well, whatever you do, the brother says, do not go near that door. And whatever you do, do not open that door. Well, of course, curiosity gets the better of him. And he wanders to the door and he sees a man locked away in a cell. And the man says, oh my God, you've come to save me.
No, he actually said,
how's everyone doing?
You've come to save me. Please set me free. Please, these guys are crazy. And the man, thinking he's doing something just, unlocked the devil. He set him free. And that's what we did with the Super Bowl curse. We unlocked the sports devil. It's like wishing for Candyman. Saying it three times, and he shall appear. And that's what we've done. Look, it's eerie what's happened since the Super Bowl, Andrew. And the whole thing wasn't the normal build of a franchise. It was almost unlike something that's ever happened. But you could say, well, the Giants did this, but the Giants had stability, right? They had Eli Manning for a while. They had Tiki Barber for a while.
Strahan and the guys on the line. Yep.
Right? You know what I'm saying? This, it was, you know, Carson's second year. Doug's second year.
Into Foles. Into year one of LeGarrette Blount with Jay Ajayi coming in at the trade deadline.
There was no, you know, roster build, organizational build towards something.
Year one of Torrey Smith, if I'm not mistaken, was the Super Bowl year.
I mean, that's not how it works. Usually you build a foundation. But that wasn't like a build a foundation at all. It was just a bunch of pieces that came together. And for one miraculous postseason, won a Super Bowl. And then we said, well, Doug said first, it was the new norm. And you remember the players? They were mocking the Patriots. Well, we can do it and have fun.
Lane Johnson said, we have fun here.
And it was a mock at the Patriots. We don't need to go do it that way. We have fun here. Well, I talked to those Patriot guys, and they're all miserable. Belichick makes them miserable.
Yeah, they went back 1 year later and won. Beat the Rams.
We do it our way, the fun way. We've reinvented the wheel. Reinvented the wheel. Now, that's become a theme, right? It's become a theme in the way Doug coaches. It's become a theme in the way Howie has drafted. That we can reinvent how the game is played.
We can run read options with Wentz and Boston Scott.
Well, yeah, and we'll go for two every time. And even Chip Kelly, Mr. Eight. He learned his lesson when he tried to go for it that one time after scoring first, thinking that it was college football. But look at we've reinvented it. Do you see it? All the clues are right in front of our eyes. We talk about signs. And, you know, there's the adage that the signs are under your nose. You just have to open your eyes to see them. Well, aren't these all signs? Andrew, we're going deep today. Deep into the unknown of the universe.
Now, let me ask you something. Do we still have that partnership with the Sports Devil to win the division this year? With a 6-9-1 record?
I don't know. We have to figure it out. I don't know how to get out of the pact. I don't know if the pact still exists, but it's all part of the torture. Like, oh, okay, you'll make the playoffs.
6-9-1.
But Carson will get hurt in the playoff game. You'll make the playoffs because the NFC East is so bad.
And if you lost one more game, you'd have a top 7 pick. But now you're drafting 15th overall. Right.
And you're going to have a 50-year-old playing quarterback for you against Seahawks. Oh, yeah, you'll go back to the playoffs the following year again. Because the NFC East is so dreadful. And you want to talk about Faustian deals. Jerry Jones sold his soul a long time ago. And if you think the sports devil is real, look no further than the Cowboys. Think about that. Think about Daniel Snyder and the Redskins, the Washington football team, because of that name and because of all the nefarious things that Daniel Snyder has done.
Yep.
And what they did to RG3 playing him when he was hurt. Andrew, the signs of the sports devil right in front of us.
Now we have half a fan base hating effort by Carson Wentz.
Well, the fans are
split
betwixt and between. They don't know. Poor Carson, the just one, right? Caught in this horrible sports devil. We need to discuss it today. I mean, this is a whole theme. This is real. Just look at all the clues. Tell me. Look at the clues. You look at them themselves. Look at the signs. You for yourself look at them. And then hit us up. Let us know if you're a believer or not. We sold our soul. We made a Faustian deal for that day in February 2018. It's Cuz Radio with Chunis. We're just getting started. You want to join us? 610-632. If you have the stomach, 0975. 610-632-0975. Cuz Radio with Chunis, 97.5 The Fanatic.
And this is Andrew Sal. Chunis says, businesses have had to be flexible all year. It's been a tough one, right? From working remotely to pivoting their business models for long-term survival and growth. While major retailers are now selling face masks, restaurants have moved dining outside, and some consumer packaged goods companies have shifted to focus more on surface cleaners and hand sanitizers. If you're in charge of hiring for your business, these pivots have made your job even more challenging, especially if you're hiring for brand new roles. Thankfully, there's one place you can always count on to make hiring faster and easier. That's ZipRecruiter.com/fanatic. When you post a job on ZipRecruiter, it gets sent out to over 100 top job boards with one click. It's no wonder why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself right now why you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/fanatic. That's ZipRecruiter.com/fanatic. Let ZipRecruiter take hiring off your plate so you can focus on growing your business. ZipRecruiter.com/fanatic. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it's 11:30, 11 o'clock hour, brought to you by Gold Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged. Cuz Radio with Chunis hanging. And don't forget, 6 o'clock tonight, the Ron Jaworski Show, one of my favorite listens of the week. And you get the great Jaws tonight at 6 o'clock, and joining us to preview that show and all things birds, the Pope of Philadelphia in football. When it comes to football, the Pope, Ron Jaworski. Jaws!
Anthony, another beautiful day in the tri-state area. Thank you for coming out to my fundraising golf tournament Monday. It was a tremendous day, tremendous weather. We raised a lot of money for at-risk youth in our community. I want to thank my sponsors, Norris Sales, JPC Construction, and Genesis. And we had 30 groups that showed up. It was awesome. Sold out. So thanks for coming out and helping promote the great event. And we raised money for kids in the community.
36 of them you've done. That's amazing.
That is scary. I keep thinking of that. My hair was a different color when we started doing this, but it's been fun.
Oh, my God. And you put on such a great time, yeah. And Liz and all the crew you have. I mean, you guys do such a great job. It's so much fun. Those courses are beautiful, and it was such a gorgeous day. It was like, wow, what a day to be out here.
You know, it's kind of funny, too. You know, we scaled it back this year because, obviously, the pandemic, you know, everything was held outside. You know, lunch, breakfast, dinner, everything was outside. We were social distance. And you know, hopefully we could bring it back next year to a big gala. But, you know, we kept more local celebrities than we've had in the past because a lot of guys don't want to fly and travel. But, you know, I'm going through the list of guys I've had at this event, you know, after 36 years you just mentioned. You know, guys like Johnny Unitas, Charles Barkley, Jim Kelly, Tom Brady, Joe Theismann. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. I'm going, it's like, damn, I really appreciate
these
guys.
Jackets.
A lot of gold jackets, you're right, you know, that have given back to the community. You know, unfortunately, a guy named Calais Campbell has played in my tournament as well a few times, and we saw too much of him on Sunday.
Really? I like to see less than Calais Campbell.
Yeah, right.
Well, one of the guys that was at your, at the gala 2 years ago, for sure, and he's always there when he can, is Spags, right?
Steve's been there. Well, of course, they're busy now. Yeah. You know, we had it in June. You know, I had a lot more coaches. You know, Doug has played. You know, he's played in the event. So we've had the coaches when it was in June. But this year, nothing was going on in June. So, yeah, Spags has always been a great supporter of the event. And, you know, he's a local guy. He's down the shore. We love Spags. I talk to him on a regular basis and try to get some good information. He's good for information.
Yeah, I only bring him up for this reason, because I was telling a story earlier in the show about the idea of winning a football game. And he said to me one day, he goes, you don't understand what it's like just to get a win. You know, because we slough it off sometimes as fans and media. You go, yeah, well, somebody's going to win, somebody's going to lose. But to actually feel good about yourself by winning a game and when you're in the throes of something, and I feel like that's tomorrow night. Like, they have to win tomorrow night to feel good about themselves, to get that feeling back.
No question. Spags is absolutely right. I'll even skinny that down a little bit. As an offensive player, you know, sometimes it's hard to get a first down, you know, and sometimes you got to accept a little victory and say, all right, first down. Now, you know, get momentum going, get positive vibes. So you start at the smallest of accomplishments. And, you know, Spags is a win. You enjoy the wins. They're hard to come by. Sometimes first downs against good defensive teams are hard to come by. So celebrate those small victories and then pile them up. And tomorrow night is going to be an example where the Eagles have to start piling up some victories. They won 4-1. Hey, they're still in the thick of this thing. The Giants twice and the Cowboys the next 3 weeks. I expect the Eagles team to be 4-4-1 after the next 3 weeks.
Right? I mean, I do.
I mean,
you've seen the Giants on tape, but I mean, look, that's I like Joe Judge, and I think he's going to work out and be a good coach. But their talent is just—it's thin. They got nothing up there now.
The loss of Saquon Barkley, obviously a huge, significant loss for them. It took a really away their balance on the offensive side, which you need to do, especially with that offensive line they have right now. You know, with the Giants, and you know, they're a rebuilding team. You know, they weren't looking to win the division this year. They're looking at those baby steps. You know, Joe Judge has gone in there, much like Doug when he came here, changed the culture. Make it a culture shock. We're going to do things differently. We're going to compete every single down. We're not going to look at one game or a quarter of the season like a lot of coaches do. Joe Judge is going in there and he's put discipline in that organization. He's not going to deal with some of the off-the-field stuff that the Giants have dealt with over the last few years. So, you know, they weren't expected to be a playoff contender, but I do see some positive signs with that team. You know, Daniel Jones is an outstanding young quarterback, and when they surround him with an offensive line, he's going to be much better. I mean, he's their leading rusher, so it's obvious. Yeah. You know, he's been under duress an awful lot, Anthony, but, you know, they're going through that growing process right now. That's why, you know, I got the Eagles winning this one because of what the Giants are going through right now.
So let me ask you, and we're talking to the great Jaws on the Comcast Business Hotline, the idea of Hurts, and Doug said that more Hurts. You had to deal with that with Randall. What's that do to Wentz, knowing that you got to either be taken out of the game or you're going to be put out wide or you got another quarterback in the game? What's that do?
Personally, I don't like it. You mentioned I went through it with Randall back in 1986, where, you know, he'd run on the field on 3rd and 7 or more, and I'd run off the field, which is, by the way, the toughest down in football is 3rd and long. But Randall had such tremendous running ability in the open field. You know, Buddy Ryan decided to go in that and help his maturation. It did help Randall's maturation as an NFL quarterback, but I don't think it helped our football team. And the quarterbacks are creatures of habit. You get into a rhythm in the game, and all of a sudden you're running off the field, you're running on the field, you're lining up as a wide receiver, you're lining up in a different position, you're blocking when Hurts breaks the pocket. You see all those things that are different for a quarterback, and Carson has accepted this. I give him all the credit in the world, but I'll guarantee you, because I went through it deep down inside, you're like, the hell's he doing?
Right. You know? Yeah, I agree. I don't like it when Sean Payton does it in New Orleans. I just sometimes go, you got Alvin Kamara, you got Michael Thomas when he's not ripping his teeth, fighting with his teammates. I mean, you got great skill guys there. Those skill guys are better than what kind of gimmick you can run.
Well, I will tell you this. We don't have a whole lot of skill players right now.
Yeah. I know there's no Alvin Kamara. Michael Thomas.
So here's where I may agree with Doug somewhat on this. You know, he's got to manufacture some big plays. You know, they're not going to go out there and just run the football. In fact, I think they're way off in their balance and their equilibrium right now. And I've just been, you know, looking at some tape this morning and looking at some of my notes and things like that. Right now, Anthony, they've rushed the ball 141 times this year, and probably 20 of those rushes were Carson's got 28, and probably 20 were Carson scrambles. They've got thrown the ball 281 times. 280. I mean, they've lost their balance. And, you know, when you got young, inexperienced guys, scale it back, simplify things. You know, they did go to some heavy offensive formation, the 6-0 linemen, you know, last week against Baltimore, and they had some effectiveness with it. But, you know, when you got all these injuries, you got to scale it back. And number one, with young offensive linemen, I'm a big believer in this, and I've played for a lot of great offensive line coaches. And they said the best thing to do with young offensive linemen is put their hand on the ground, come off the ball, and hit somebody, not step back in a retreating position. Young guys in this league, they're not ready for NFL pass rushers yet.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I think with this team, with what the Giants give you, I think it's with everybody out, I think it's a perfect time not to screw around. You could beat this team playing basic football.
Well, and you know, the field position is so important. And you know, the term I always use is complementary football. You know, this is a game where Doug doesn't have to be overly aggressive on fourth down. You know, punt the ball sometimes. Put the Giants, you know, at their own 5-yard line or 10-yard line, make them go 90, 95 yards. They don't have the talent to go 95 yards. So they're gonna shoot themselves in the foot somewhere along the way. Their offensive line is dreadful. It's dreadful. This Eagles defensive line should dominate up front. They should earn their paychecks this week. They haven't every week, but this is where the money is spent by Howie Roseman. So this defensive line should dominate, but they've gotta get back to playing complementary football, you know, and pin the Giants in the hole. Don't be overly aggressive because you're the better team.
Yeah, I'm. It's a short week, and it's got all those things point to the Eagles. And it look like you said, all of a sudden you win the next three, and you're in the driver's seat for that division. Or you watch the Cowboys Monday night. You saw the Cardinals put a smackdown on them, and then the fallout is they're talking. They're ripping the coach anonymously in the media. Jaws, the Cowboys are unraveling. It's a great day.
That is so gutless, Anthony. When players start chirping to the media, you know, with these anonymous, I'm not putting my name on it. Then shut up. You know, I hate when guys talk to the media and give them this inside information and don't put their name on it. That, to me, that's gutless. And hey, some reporters are very good at getting guys to chirp a little bit, you know? And we love you. Hey, as fans, we love hearing that, you know? The coaches are bad. They don't know what they're doing. Well, you know, I guess Ezekiel Elliott probably called some bad plays or involved in two bad plays when he fumbled. Oh, that's the coach's fault because not coaching him well. That's bull. We all know that stuff. But, you know, players want to start chirping all the time. And I'll go back to a comment I made to you a couple weeks ago, Anthony. After the Eagles beat the 49ers for that first win, and I watched the Giants, the Redskins, the Washington football team, I can't get that out of my mind, and the Dallas Cowboys, you know, that afternoon, because I'm like waiting for the Eagles night game. It was laughable. It was the Giants were horrible. The Washington was horrible, and Dallas was horrible. I'm going, the Eagles win this game, they're going to win a division. You know, and that's kind of the position they're in right now. And oh, by the way, no matter what the record is, the winning team of the division goes to the playoffs and gets a home game. Those are the rules. That's the rules. So, hey, I like the Eagles' chances right now.
Yeah, I know. And what happens when a team like the Cowboys unravel this early in the McCarthy's tenure? He's six games into it, and they're already chirping. Like that, I'll be honest with you. Jaws, I take glee in that, all right? I know you do, too. We hate them, right?
Yep. So, no question. Yeah, you know, we'll talk about that next week more. We'll get into
but what does it do to a team, coach, though? Yeah. When you're all kinds of backbiting and infighting, I mean, that could be a disaster for them.
It could be. And you know, before the season, you know, I am a big Mike McCarthy fan. I think the guy is a terrific football coach. He was a terrific coach, you know, when he was with the Green Bay Packers. The guy is a Super Bowl winning coach. You know, so I thought, oh, this is scary. You know, the whole coaching dynamic is changing in the NFC East to Ron Rivera and Joe Judge. And I thought Mike McCarthy was the most seasoned guy. But, you know, you got to be in the right environment as a coach. You know, I don't know what the supporting cast is like that, not from a player's standpoint, but from the front office. We know Jerry and everyone else is involved in decision-making and all those things, you know, so it is kind of a mess. And we kind of love that it's a mess down there. So, but I'm still not going to, you know, say Mike McCarthy is a bad coach, because he's not. And eventually that program will get turned around. But with their decimated offensive line, they're kind of the same position the Eagles are. You know, they got to run out some guys you didn't expect to play this year.
All right. So give me the Jaws playbook for tomorrow. Not the Jaws youth playbook that you are so good at.
Good hand.
Give me your playbook for tomorrow night. How do the Eagles win?
Well, as I said a moment ago, it's a very bad offensive line up in New York. And our defensive line, if they come to play up to their abilities or beyond, will dominate up front. I mean, I think, you know, no wins in the NFL are ever easy, but this is a game the Eagles should win. I was going to say, you know, our offensive line is banged up and, you know, our receivers are dropping balls, and those are some issues. But I just think our team overall is a much more seasoned team. The ability to deal with adversity has always been a positive for a Doug Peterson coach team. He loves the underdog mentality. So they're going to come in tomorrow knowing that they got a chance to win tomorrow, beat Dallas, and of course, you know, beat the Giants again. You're 4-4-1, lead the division with a clear shot at winning the division. And by the way, that is the goal of every team. And I played on four teams in the NFL. When the coach comes up the first day of training camp and he goes to the board, goal number one, they don't say win the Super Bowl, they say win the division. That's the first step. The ultimate goal is to win the Super Bowl. The first step is to win a division. So everything is still in front of the Eagles right now as we speak.
Jaws, great stuff. We'll be listening tonight, 6 o'clock, the Ron Jaworski Show.
Hey, I'll tell you, Anthony, I got Jeremiah Trotter
as the Axeman.
And Trot, the Axeman, as he's known in this community, is fantastic. And, you know, we're going to talk about, and I know people mention it all the time, but I want to hear it from Trot, why the Eagles have this tendency to devalue linebackers.
Oh.
And you think of the, you know, who's the last impact linebacker we've had here? Jeremiah Trotter. So yeah. I want to hear it from his lips to my ears why the Eagles devalue that position in today's wide open NFL.
Man, I can't wait to hear that. Love Trot, and it's going to be a great show tonight, 6 o'clock right here, 97.5 The Fanatic. Jaws, thanks, my brother.
All right, you got it, Anthony. You be careful. Be safe, all right?
You too, Pope. Okay. Take it easy, pal. Bye-bye. There he is, the great Ron Jaworski on the Comcast Business Online. Trot, wow. That's a great linebacker right there.
I mean, Kiko Alonso wasn't the last impact linebacker?
Dude, Shakiko. Remember I would play the Shakira song?
Shakira, yeah, Shakiko.
Shakiko.
Yeah, it's been pretty bad since that. I mean, I liked Bradham, but, you know, it's not, I'm not putting Nigel Bradham at the level of Jeremiah Trotter or, you know, Ray Lewis, you know what I mean, or Brian Urlacher. But Nigel Bradham at this point looks like those guys compared to what the Eagles have now with Nate Gary.
I know.
Think about that. I laud Nigel Bradham. Like, I go, wow, that guy was a great linebacker.
I mean,
but when you compare him to the guys you have now, compared to them, he's a great linebacker.
I know. Dude, it's scary sometimes when you think about it. It's frightening.
Yeah. Then you got guys like LJ Fort, who you let go, and he makes a play.
Against
the Eagles in the red zone.
Like, are you serious with LJ Fort? You know what I mean? For real? Did they miss? They miss him? They missed the fort.
Oh, we saw Davion Taylor finally make a play. run down Lamar.
I just did a Doug sigh. Goes back to... Think about that team. Think about the defense in 17. I mean, I know in the Super Bowl it was bad, but man, they played well in the... Leading up to it.
Oh, I mean, Chris Long was incredible as a rotational D end. You know, him with Brandon Graham as well. Barnett wasn't awful yet. He's had a decent season this year, but Barnett wasn't awful
Here's
yet.
Here's the problem with Barnett is that Humphrey was taken two picks after.
Yeah.
And he hasn't lived up to anything.
No, he's not to being a 14th overall pick, no. But yeah, you look at that 17. I mean, Fletcher Cox a little bit younger. Tim Jernigan was playing on one of those one-year deals, trying to make a name for himself. Ronald Darby wasn't awful yet, right? Jalen Mills, okay. Malcolm Jenkins was 3 years younger.
It goes back to what we were saying. the signs. Can you see the signs? Tell me if it's not real. Tell me if we didn't put it out in the universe over and over and over again, and it's playing out just like we said because of the sports devil. Tell me we didn't sell our souls. Tell me. And not just for the football, but for the whole damn sports landscape. I want to talk about it, and I want to talk about Jalen Hurts. Your Jaws. I heard you and Bob last night.
He's scoring a touchdown. Do I agree with it? No. But he's scoring a touchdown. Doug's going to find any way to get him on the field this week.
Why?
Because he said in his press conference, oh.
Like, here's the thing.
Provides a spark.
If you're playing anybody else, all right, you know, play here, play there, whatever. But now, why? How many plays are you going to be on? Let's talk about it. We got some open lines after Brian, 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. How you join us, Cuz Radio, with the chewiness. Let's talk about Parks Casino. We're going to be there tomorrow. Special 10-2 broadcast, chewiness. We will be there tomorrow, and we have the pregame show at night from Parks Casino. So check out the app. I'm looking at it right now. Let's go right to the game. So, Eagles still 4.5. That line still seems light to me. Like, I like the Eagles in the game. You might want to buy it down to 3 just in case. But I kind of like it. And let's look at the props, shall we? So, here we go. To score a touchdown. Huh. Fulgham is plus 180 to score a touchdown. See it, Pat. Deshaun Jackson is going to play. He's plus 225 to score a touchdown. Carson plus 260. That's all right there on the Parks app. Do I see Jalen Hurts? I don't see Jalen Hurts here. He's not listed here. Anyway, they have all the stuff right there at your fingertips. Take a look at it. It's cool. Go to pa.parkscasino.com. Download it. Use the code Fanatic. Get a risk-free bet to $500. You got to be in Pennsylvania. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right. So let me reenact our conversation that Andrew and I just had. So the tunas and I were talking, and we're just talking about the whole concept of the show, right? So having some fun today about the curse and looking back and the idea of selling your soul. And I don't even know how it started. And then he says to me, and he's like matter of fact words, I saw a ghost. I went, yeah, like, yeah. He went, no, really, I saw a ghost. And I go, what? Oh, no, yeah. I wasn't like a little kid. I was like 13 years old, 14 years old. I'll let Andrew, Judas, go ahead. Tell the people what you just told me, because you never have told me that before.
Yeah, I dropped the hand of God to you. I was like, yeah, hand of God. I saw a ghost. So I was in my bedroom. I had to have been 13 or 14 years old. And I never sleep with my window open. Never. I do it now all the time. But when I was a kid, I hated the crickets and the cicadas and all that stuff.
Yeah, dude, I could dig it, man. I'm not, you know why?
They kept me up.
I haven't slept well since I moved there.
Yeah. My dad also, the other thing that bothered the hell out of me, my dad always put wind chimes on the tree right by my bedroom. So if it was a windy night, you know, I'm hearing an orchestra.
Give me a set the bus any day of the week.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, there was one night, for some reason, I slept my window open. It was the only time I ever did it. And all night I woke up, and there's this guy flown by my window. It looked like he was wearing like a Civil War outfit. And he was like a shade of green. And went out the window. He smiled at me and went out the window.
Wait, two.
Yeah, what's up?
First of all, he was in your room or out? Or
in the room right by the window.
So you wake up and you weren't dreaming?
No, hand of God.
And you see what you think is a figure?
Yeah.
Like a man?
Yes.
In a Civil War uniform?
Yeah. A little shade of green?
What do you mean shady green? He was an Eagles fan?
I was bleeding green.
He's painting his face?
No, he's just like, you know, the aura around him. A little shady green.
He had an aura?
Yeah.
Well, I guess he's a ghost.
He's a ghost, yeah. I mean, it wasn't like Babe Ruth coming out of the closet in the Sandlot. here's to remember, you know? No, it was the guy, shady green, and he smiled at me, and I was just like, huh? And went out the window.
He flew out the window.
Yeah, he sort of like evaporated and went out the window. Went into his little ball again and went out. So I walked over to my parents' room. They were across the hall. And I shook my mom. And, you know, she freaks out. She says, what's going on? Because I'm 13. It's not like I'm 4 and going, you know, Ma, I had a nightmare. I walk in and I shake my mom. And then she goes, what's wrong? And I couldn't speak. Because I was just like, well, you're not going to believe me. And she's like, what? I was like, oh, I just saw a ghost. Nah, I didn't go back to bed that night.
How'd you ever sleep in your...
Seemed like a nice guy. He smiled at me.
Cuss.
Dude, he seemed like a nice guy.
Cuss.
He was coming in, checking out the new place.
What? Listen to me. Like, here's the thing I never got with these horror movies.
Huh? That they go back, they go back in.
Like Eddie Murphy did a skit years ago off of the Amityville Horror when he said, you know, the movie was Get Out.
Right.
And he was like, all right,
see.
This is your house, man.
Yeah, but he didn't say Get Out. He just, what's up, man? He basically gave me
what up?
Hey. How you doing?
He gave you a Bernie hello. Yeah,
but I could not go back to bed after that. I continued to sleep. Yeah, he's talking now. I continued to sleep in that bedroom, but that night I then stayed awake and just talked kind of to myself about what the hell just happened. I was like, I just saw a ghost. And Malika Hill, they do Civil War reenactments because there was, I'm sure, battles in Malika Hill. Nothing big. So, you know, he unfortunately probably took one and still hanging around. In Malika Hill.
That sucks, though. If you're a ghost, you still wearing your Civil War outfit?
Maybe it's cold.
No, I'm saying, you was he packing?
I didn't see the musket, no.
Dude.
Yeah, no, it's a normal thing for me.
I don't think I've ever known anyone that actually saw a ghost.
Yeah, it was normal. And it didn't freak me out. Like, that night, I was kind of like...
I actually take that back. My sister-in-law, Karen, she can see the other side.
Okay.
Like, not regularly, but she's got...
Yeah,
she's
I'm not saying I'm conversing with the dead.
But I tell you, I never saw anything. Nothing.
Yeah, and, you know.
And I still go, dude, really? You sure?
Yeah, nah, hand to God. And then
I've never really talked to anybody. Like, when you said that, it kind of floored me.
You're waiting for me to be like, nah, just kidding. No, I'm serious. And, you know, that's about it. I think the only other time I could have been close to something like that, I was my wife's sister. We were staying at their house one weekend because they were away and they have a dog. and we were watching the dog, and the first night we were there, this time I was freaked out. The dog goes to the corner of the house and just starts barking at the wall. And that freaked the living daylights out of me because it was the middle of the night. This dog is just barking at the corner of the house. And I'm like, what are you barking at, man? I pulled the dog away. The dog went right back to the corner and kept on barking. Because, you know, animals can see that kind of stuff. That's like a theory that animals can see ghosts and all that stuff.
Right.
So this dog is just barking at the corner of the house, like to the point where I had to pick up the dog to bring it back to, like, it woke up, got out of the bed, and went to that corner of the house downstairs.
All right. So let me ask you a question, because my buddy Danny says on the text board, ask him if he could move in his sleep.
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got up.
He said it's called sleep paralysis.
No, like I sat up. I know what he's talking about. I've had sleep paralysis before. No, but I sat up and I was just like, huh? And he flew away. And then I got up and walked to my parents. Like I can still remember the entire thing. My bed was facing the windows to my right. I'm looking. I'm just like, what's... I thought at first it was like maybe like one of my parents like checking on me or something for some reason.
Should have asked if the Eagles were going to win Sunday.
It was the ghost of Nick Foles. But no, I saw a ghost. There was a sighting not too long ago at Gettysburg. Video went viral. These people were driving down the road and there's one of the old cannons like with the two giant wheels.
Right.
It's just sitting up on the side of the road because you're driving past Gettysburg. They have all kinds of monuments and stuff. And I'll show you the video during the break. There you could see these two white figures running to the cannon.
I don't believe any of that.
No, I do. I'll show you during the break.
You can't believe a video.
It's cell phone footage.
Who knows?
Hey, listen, man.
Listen, you got China and Russia doctoring up all kinds of things. Are you going to believe that?
Yeah, man, it's Gettysburg, our own backyard.
I don't believe it.
So, yeah, it's all good.
Speaking of things going viral, did you see that dude that was chased by a mountain lion?
No.
Oh, my God. It was unbelievable. He was, like, in the woods. I think it was Washington State or Oregon. It was the Northwest. And all of a sudden, he comes on it, like, he sees these baby mountain lions. And he comes onto these mountain lions, and all of a sudden, the mother appears.
Oh, yeah, don't want to mess with that.
Dude, the mother chased this dude for, I don't know, it had to be 15 minutes. He's videoing it.
Why are you video? Drop the phone.
He's videoing it. And the thing is hissing at him. Like, and it's unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm not messing with no mountain lion.
Oh, my God. And it does a weird, like, shimmy. Like, it scored a touchdown. Like, when it leaps at you, it comes up.
Like, in Detroit?
It's hind legs. And it's bizarre.
Was it a Detroit lion?
No, I'm telling you, it was unbelievable. That was one of the most crazy things I ever saw.
Yeah, I'm not messing around with no mountain lions.
Hell no.
Messing around with ghosts, though.
Dude, you sure?
Hand to God.
Let me see what Danny says, because I think Danny says...
No, it's not sleep paralysis. I know, I've had it. It's the worst.
He says, I don't believe it either. It was a dream.
All right, Danny. You're no friend of mine.
Now, VG says he gets sleep paralysis too. It's the worst.
It's awful. Oh my, have you ever had it?
He said he saw a dude constantly creeping in his hallway as a kid.
Have you ever had that, sleep paralysis?
No.
I get it too often. It's when you know you're dreaming and you're trying to wake yourself up. My wife had it on our honeymoon.
Really?
In the middle of the night, she's saying my name and I'm like, all right.
Well, something.
Middle of the night honeymoon, okay.
It's a little consummate.
And, there she is. And I'm like, wait, what? And I shake her. And she was like, all of a sudden she's breathing hard. She's like, you have no idea what I was just going through the last, it felt like an hour.
She couldn't wake up?
No. But she knew that she was sleeping.
Wow, that's weird. Yeah, but see, that's what it was. You didn't see a ghost.
No, I saw a ghost. Listen, man, I will.
All right.
Never change.
All right, let's get back to the peeps. 610-632-0975. I don't know. I was like half joking. It was more of a narrative, but who knows? Maybe we really did sell our soul. Brian, you're on 97.5, the Fanatic. Bri.
What's going on, Ant? I've kind of lost my train of thought with the whole ghost conversation going on.
I guess so, never, Bri.
I've never seen a ghost, but I have videotaped a UFO standing from my balcony. I don't know if it was a UFO or like a droid or something, but it was right. Something, though.
But so they're out there, too.
Yeah, they're definitely out there. But
You're out there, too, cuz.
two things, though, cuz. Before I get to my question about Doug, I want to say, put a bid in for the Philadelphia fan base, maybe for you to bring back the bitch and complain line that you first had when you first came over to the Fanatic.
Oh, you know what? I think you're right.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, let's do it. I like that idea. Okay. I think we should bring back, no, bring the heat, though. No, I don't want to do that.
No. Well, kind of the PG-13 version, cuz.
Yeah. My man, I like it, brother.
It would be awesome for the people to vent, man. I really do.
All right. Yeah, we'll do it.
And then my next question was about Doug. Like, after watching the last two games, you know, versus Pittsburgh and Baltimore, I'm looking at their coaches like Mike Tomlin, Jim Harbaugh, and I'm looking at all the other coaches around the league. So my question to you is, with Doug being in the hot seat right now, do you think like he can pull out of it and maybe get the tenure that those coaches, you know, around the league that they have right now?
I don't know. That's a great question, Brian. I don't know. Is he Brian Billick or is he, you know, somebody more accomplished? Like, he's not Andy. I mean, you know, who is he as a coach? I mean, McCarthy won a Super Bowl, right? Now, he lived off of that for a while.
Exactly.
But I don't know. I'll be honest with you. Here's what I do know. I know he is a good coach, meaning he's a good leader. He's coach material. I just don't know if he's offensive coordinator material. Right?
Exactly. I think he needs to give up the play calling. Exactly what you said, man. Yeah, and for the year we won the Super Bowl, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe Frank Reich was calling the plays that year, too.
Well, Doug was calling the plays, but Reich was in his ear a lot.
Yeah.
Doug called the plays. He called the plays, and he called a lot of great plays. But Reich was in his ear. Reich also was there with the script, and Reich was also instrumental in the red zone offense.
Right.
So, I don't know. I think
he's in a situation where he can either go left or he can go right.
I agree. It's crossroads, like, man. You're right.
Yeah, he's in that fork in the road where this year I think is going to make a difference for him. I hope he sticks around, and I like him. I would love for him to see to get that tenure like Tomlin and Harbaugh, but I don't know because this year I'm a little nervous, man.
I know. Listen, I feel you, Brian. Great stuff, man. I don't know. Is he a tenured guy? Listen, he'll always have a job. So, he'll always be in the league. But, is he a tenured guy? Is he a guy that's going to stay here 10 years?
We were talking about before the season, remember?
Yeah.
Yeah, you had the...
Would you sign him?
Dinner or something, right? And I forget who it was that asked you the question. Would you sign for 10 years? Yeah. I said, yeah. I mean...
Your uncle had the crab dinner, Uncle Greg.
Will I still do it?
Nikki Primos was there.
I don't want to say no after six games. It hasn't been good. They're 1-4-1, but they have made the playoffs three straight years. That's a fantastic question. And I think,
because we talked about faith, I don't know.
I mean, we'll see what he does this season.
Listen, he's not in jeopardy until at the earliest after next year. And even then, I think he gets, like, that's the, dude, you better turn it around year, right? So my guess is he's here for at least this season and two more. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, even if like this, if this go, even if they make the playoffs at 6-9-1,
if it goes south, like
right. But if they make the playoffs at 6-9-1, and that means they went 5-5 the rest of the way. You know, is that something where management, front office goes, say, look, they were able to go 5-5 with what we have. I mean, if anything, there's some more of an indictment on Howie Roseman right now than Doug.
Well, you can also say, you know, hey, every year they rallied. They would have rallied again. That's 3 years in a row they rallied to make the playoffs. And they don't quit on them. So, again, you could spin it in a positive way. Let's get to Andrew in St. Louis. Andrew, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, Tony, how you doing?
What's up, Andrew? Tony. Who's Tony?
Anthony, sorry.
That's right. My father's Tony. They call my father Tony.
So, remember last week I was telling you that the Seahawks is an important game, right?
Yes.
So, if you think about it, if we win this division, which it looks like we might, because that's how bad everybody else is, we would be the 4 seed, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Guess who the 4 seed plays? First round is the number 5 seed.
Right.
Which right now could be Nick Foles and the Bears.
Could you imagine that, Andrew? Oh, my God.
Like that, man.
Actually.
Either the Buccaneers.
Oh, my God.
Or Nikki Six in the first round.
I gotta be honest with you.
Those are my two. Those guys. One of those guys is going to be a high-ranking second, right? Because the Seahawks have an easy schedule. They'll be like 14 and 3. I don't think they're going to lose a lot this year. They have an easy schedule, so we're going to get one of those two teams.
That is amazing. I gotta be real.
Imagine it.
That would be awesome. I would love to see Foles at the link for a playoff game.
Could you?
Oh, my God.
How's everyone doing?
The haunting continues, man.
I just did this. I'm like, oh, my God, this could happen.
That's a ghost story, Andrew. That's a ghost story. I love it. Oh, my God, that's amazing. I would love to see that. Wouldn't you love to see that?
Yeah, I would love to see it. But we need Wentz to win, or oh my God, will we go nuts?
Yeah.
By the way, Mo Abdul with a great tweet. He goes, "You're saying it was a friendly ghost? Are you sure it wasn't Tobias Harris?"
We're the friendly ghost, the friendliest ghost you know. All grown-ups might look at him with fright. The children all love him so. He always says,
"Hello." I had a 6'8" forward in my as a ghost
hello
in my bedroom.
Hello, Andrew. Oh, that's fantastic.
I'll average 20-plus during the regular season, but you won't see me during the playoffs.
That's not right.
No, it's not.
That's not right.
But it's true.
Nat, did you hear that? Did Andrew saw a ghost?
No, when?
I was either 13 or 14. Saw a ghost. He came in my bedroom. He was a Civil War guy. I lived in Mullica Hill. There's Civil War reenactments there all the time, and he was chilling in my bedroom.
Were you awake, or did you wake up and see him?
I was awake.
Okay. Well, I'm not doubting you. I believe it.
I saw him. He's chilling by the window.
You see a ghost, Nat?
No.
Yeah, I haven't either.
You see the Gettysburg video?
But it's not that I don't believe in them. I definitely believe in
them.
Did
you see the Gettysburg video that came out the other day?
No. I tried to not watch anything.
I'll show all of you.
I don't really discount much,
but I don't know if I believe in them. I can't actually say I believe in them. I could say that I don't discount anything. I would be naive to discount.
Here's my thing.
I don't want to
tell somebody else what their experience is if they think that they see them.
Yeah. But it's Andrew, so you can.
I know, maybe.
You can say, yo, dude, you were sleeping. All right.
Nah, I was awake.
Yeah, here we go.
Wait. So what up, ghost?
What up?
He had a Civil War. That would suck if you're throughout eternity, you're stuck wearing a Civil War outfit.
Probably scratchy. Right?
I know.
It's not
the material, burlap.
Right. At least I can wear a Fila sweatsuit.
I'd love it if it was like Ben Franklin, who was like the ghost who showed up to, you know, at me, like in my room.
You like that?
I'd be like, Ben.
If he's in your bedroom,
have a
say,
seat.
Yo, listen, you dirty old man. Get out of my bedroom.
I'd ask him for a Benjamin, though. You got a couple lying around
Benny.
For me?
Let me get a Benny.
In fact, the children brought up Uncle Greg. We were at the crab dinner that night. Uncle Greg does the crab dinner all the time. And we were talking about Doug and his coaching and the 10-year. Would you sign him to a 10-year deal? And my, oh, my, that was just this past summer. So, listen, Uncle Greg and Uncle Paul, who was also at the dinner, they've been down at the Airport Auto Mall for three generations. All right? Long time. Three generations. And so they've seen everything. And they're these, there's those kinds of guys, right? Where they're family guys. They're break bread at my table guys. That's who they are. And that's how they take care of you. It's more than just a metaphor. They take care of you that way at Family Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. All right. And right now, during Jeep Adventure Days, you'll save thousands, make no payments until 2021. You heard that right. You'll get through the crazy holiday season with no car payments. Get 0% APR financing for up to 7 years select models backed by the Family Advantage, their commitment to the best customer experience before and after the sale. What are you waiting for? Don't miss your chance to save big. Upgrade to a new Jeep. At-home delivery, curbside pickups available if you're a little, you know, squeamish about going outside. Call, click, or go visit them at the Philadelphia Airport Auto Mall. Remember, at Family Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, you're more than a customer. You're family, man. I'm telling you, I said everybody there. They're the greatest. You'll love them. See the uncles for details. This great offer expires November 2nd, 2020.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.